listen to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.AB.ca. As we welcome in former NHLer, pre- and post-game analyst Landon Ferraro joins us. Landon, when you... did you have a memorable rookie party, whether it was you, the rookie, or someone else's rookie party?
My year in Boston, we had it in LA, and it was a fun time. Like, it's something you always think about, and then you finally do it, and it was fun. We ended up at a bar, and it was lots of people around. It was a good time, and then all of a sudden, no one was really around anymore, and there was this upper area. I look up there, I'm like, oh, everyone kind of left to that spot. And it was Leo DiCaprio and Gronkowski up there. So it made sense everyone left our area.
Well, there you go. Yeah, nice. Did you meet Gronk?
No, I tried to work my way in. I figured Boston to Boston, and I did a terrible job talking. And none of us were in that area, that's for sure.
Yeah, in LA,
different level.
Yeah, in LA is a little bit different, eh? Little bit different.
We needed somewhere in the North End in Boston. We had a way better chance.
Yeah, Brad Marchand wasn't wheeling his way in there, or what?
Not that I remember. I mean, who knows? Yeah. I was just trying to get through the night.
Well, that sounds like the orders lately. Just trying to get through a game without giving up a lead, and it's obviously not worked. I know it's not panic time in Edmonton by any stretch of the imagination, right? Like they're not playing remotely close to the level they're capable of. I think most people know that in and outside of the organization. But at what point does it become a concern, do you think, for a team that they know they're good, but they're not playing to their capabilities, at least on a night-by-night basis?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, it's not stress time, but it is frustration time for the reason that you ended with. They know they're a good team. They know that they can play the right way, and they're just not fully there yet. And, the last two, in a sense, have been better, in the fact that they get out to a lead. Obviously they punt it away, but they're they've started well. It's more about just staying in it mentally. Like, you look at a decent number of the goals they've given up, it's not even that these unbelievable plays are being made. It's the offense is given to them. It's someone falling asleep, not covering someone in front, or a tough turnover and the back check's not there. Like, it's just the little things that are adding up to goals against. So, I think it's something where there's enough people in that room that, have proven what they can be, that are just going to be too frustrated to not deal with this situation sooner than later. There's no reason for this team to be chasing points at the end of the year, trying to get into a position to have some game or playoff games that start at home. Like, their team's good enough now, and I think they'll realize it and get moving.
Yeah. A few days off, they had their rookie party. They saw some players, some other people in the organization at the Mavs games. And just, sometimes you get away, you spend 2 days, they're flying back today. So they had 2 days off. They've played the most games in the NHL, well, tied with a few teams at 15. So I know it's, sometimes a few days off can be enough to just get a team focused again.
It really can. And having rookie party in there too, especially having it early in the year like this, where, you've been through training camp, even though that's so much quicker than it was in the past, but it's still a good number of games, and you got to get through camp. And then the first part of the season has been jam packed, and they've been going what I assume to them feels nonstop. So have a bit of fun, get to know guys, the new guys in a different way, out away from the rink and having fun that way. And then just getting some rest and having a few days to really kind of think about what's going on right now. And the nice, the good thing looking at it to me is the fact that it's not a bunch of different big issues and you're like, where are we going to plug that hole? Or what are we going to do here? It to me, it's really simple fixes and more just being a bit more dialed in when you're on the ice every shift and making sure you're not giving up easy opportunities.
You look at the orders and Jack Roslovic landed in a time where there's not a lot to be overly excited about. Jack Roslovic's last few games have definitely looked like a guy who's starting to find his groove in Edmonton.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, his first pass to Podkolzin was beautiful. You know, the way that he's holding off a check and he makes it one-handed all the way across and puts it right on his tape. It was great. Like, you see the skill there. On Dreisaitl's goal, Bouchard does a great job of keeping that in, but how fast the puck moved from McDavid to Roslovic down to Dreisaitl, that couldn't be any more in the corner. I don't think I've ever seen him shoot a puck from that angle. It was insane, but you know, he sees the game, he can make the plays. The thing with Jack Roslovic is, you know, everyone knows that he has skill and he can make plays. It's about the consistency side, and when the games get a little bit harder towards the end of the season, if he can still kind of stay in the game. But to me, he looks like a pretty determined player this year. You know, free agency didn't work out the way that he thought it would. And, you know, he sees the opportunity that is Edmonton right now. And you're right, he's off to a really good start.
Landon Ferraro joined us here on Sports 1440. I actually think Trent Frederick's last four, ever since the Vancouver game, I think Trent Frederick's playing a lot better. He's been way more physical. I like that element of his game. I'd still like there to be a bit more snark at times. I know it's hard in today's, you know, there's not a lot of it, but, you know, I'd like to see him initiate, you know, get into a scrum, get a face wash or something. Like, he's being physical. I actually think that line's played pretty well as of late. They haven't been able to score, unfortunately, as a trio, but I think Trent Frederick's last four games have been infinitely better than his first 10.
Yeah, I think he's skated much better, and you're right, like, that line does get in and finish some checks, and he's a guy that needs to be doing that, right? Like, that's one of the reasons that they traded for him and signed him longer, is that he can be that guy that brings some physicality, brings emotion to the game. And you know, wanting to see a bit more of that out of him is totally fair. I think that, you know, it doesn't even mean, like you said, it doesn't mean that he needs to go out and start fighting all over the place and trying to force that, but it's causing a bit of mayhem. When there is a scuffle after a whistle, go in there and you know, grab onto someone, see if you can get them to take a penalty. Like, be that type of player, because he has it in him. We've all seen it. And it just, I imagine if he starts doing a bit more of that, the rest of his game will start coming too, because it's amazing when you put yourself into the fire a bit more, how much more your natural abilities get going. Because, you know, like, you've, you know, whether you've called out a couple guys on their team or, you know, tried to run a couple guys, like, you know that the answer is going to be coming back. And that's when you know you're doing your job now. You're playing, and you're playing a bit more free.
Yeah. The orders are getting close. We might see it this weekend, maybe Janmark and Hyman. If Hyman comes back, do you put Mangiapane or Nugent Hopkins? Because you're not splitting up the second line. So would you put Nugent Hopkins as your third-line center or move Mangiapane to the third line?
I'd start with Mangiapane down to the third, just to really make sure that Hyman's in a spot that he feels comfortable in, because you want him up and running as quick as you can. So, you know, I think putting him out with Nugent Hopkins and McDavid, you know, it's a familiar spot. He's comfortable there. He knows exactly what they're doing, and he can just get his game up and running. You know, see if Mangiapane against some lighter matchups as well, see if he can get a bit of his goal scoring and point totals to get moving a little bit. You know, I like his game, Mangiapane. I think that, you know, he works and he's always moving after it. That pass, or the zone entry to pass to Nugent Hopkins before McDavid's goal, to see him doing that out against lesser matchups as well, just seeing if that could provide a bit of a spark for him while getting Hyman into a comfortable spot in the lineup.
Yeah, like, I think Hyman's got to start with McDavid. Like, I know some people say, oh, no, he's got to work his way. And I'm like, why? He's been skating for, like, over a month. It's a wrist injury. Like, it's conditioning. I don't think it's going to be much of an issue. He's the best right winger for Hyman, for McDavid. It's not even close. So I put him there game one. What about you?
Yeah. I'm right with you. And to me, it's, you know, McDavid's line plays a ton. And if you need to move Mangiapane up for a random shift once a period to give Hyman a bit of a break, if you see that that actually is an issue, because skating on your own and skating in a game is a lot harder. You can easily move that up and down, but I think you have to start Hyman with McDavid. And again, it's just about that comfortability and get him up to pace as quickly as possible.
Looking around the league, we are seeing way more games into overtime than we have ever before. 60 of them already, right, on pace to be like 365. And with that, like some teams, hey, Montreal's got 5 overtime wins already, just in overtime, not even shootouts. Cole Caulfield has 3 overtime winners already. The record 6 set by Draisaitl last year. What do you make of all of the extra points early? Good for the league or bad?
I mean, I like it. The longer that you can keep as many teams as possible in that tight mix that the standings is right now, I think that's great. You know, I think for the most part, you know, I'd be curious to look at the stat as I'm about to say it, but like scoring has been up too. There's been a lot of higher scoring games and teams coming back. And, you know, I think that's partly, you know, a big factor of it would be how condensed the games are and the travel between and you know, the amount of back-to-backs and things like that. Like your teams are, it's not, you know, there's not as many times where you're on the road and you're going into a play a game and you're like, yeah, they've been sitting here for a week waiting for this one, just how the schedule worked. Like no one has that. So, you know, there's a lot of teams that are playing, you know, tough. Well, I mean, just Edmonton alone, like they go from St. Louis to Dallas, like that's not an easy trip to play back to back. And then you're going in and playing a solid team. So, you know, I think it's good that everything's as tight as it is. But I imagine as the season goes on as well, like it's not going to get any easier. And that's where it's so important to be mentally strong and be able to, you know, understand if you don't have your A game, what your B game is going to look like and what you still provide to your team, because you're going to be playing games where guys are fatigued. And I think you're seeing that right now with the amount of lead changes and games that are ending up in overtime.
Yeah, well, scoring is basically, it's slightly up from last year early on. It's basically the same as it was in 24 and still lower than 23 and 22. So power play percentage is, it's funny enough, power play overall in the league is slightly down from last year right now. But save percentage is lower because there's just fewer shots being tracked, right? Like now they any shot that if the goalie used to make a glove save and his glove is outside the net, they called it a shot on goal. Now they don't.
Yeah, that's right? No fun for any of the guys, especially that poor fourth liner that you're sitting there and you're like, I got a couple, and you look after and you only got one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's exactly. It's not ideal, but they're cracking down. And so that's automatically, goals aren't up or that much, or goals aren't down either way, but save percentage is down below 900. The last time the NHL average save percentage was below 900, you got to go back to 1996 when it was 898. And you had a run, obviously, in the 80s and the 90s where it was, sub 900. Lots of goals were scored. Then they went into the clutch and grab era, which sucked. And, it just hasn't ever got back. And then we had even like the highs, like everybody raves about the goalies in 2014-15. There was no offense landing back then. Like Jamie Benn was winning the scoring title with 87 points, for goodness sakes. Like it was
a completely
slog.
Different look of a league.
Yeah, it was a slog. It's amazing to think only a decade ago how different it was, no question. Do you have any concern about the Oilers, or is it just they're kind of in the muck a bit and everything should be fine in 6 weeks or sooner?
No, I still think it's going to be fine. I think that the hard thing is not seeing the team with Hyman and even Janmark, like just a bit more size in their bottom six. You know, the young kids, have done a good job, but you still have Howard sitting there playing, you know, a decent amount under 10 minutes and you know, it's probably not the place anymore. Like he needs to get down and go play some good minutes in the American League. But in doing that, you get a bit of size. Like I think that the Oilers can do a better job of trying to control the play, not just straight off of skill in the offensive zone, but playing a bit of those harder minutes, kind of grinding down the other team's defense so that when they do have a lead halfway through a game or going into a third, guys aren't as fresh and still moving as well. You know, I think that's an area they can, you know, definitely improve on, and as well as a couple others. But to me, I'm like, this team to me is better than it was last year. It's just about the pieces falling in where they need to and guys playing.
Lana, we'll talk to you next week, buddy. Have yourself a good weekend.
Yeah, you as well.